every single time we think of Jesus and pause with him, your heart begins to leap. Your heart begins to breathe. And you're given a chance to respond because something inside you is stirring. That's jolly. That's merry. That's merriment. Yeah?
Yes.
And welcome to this special worship service this morning. Avalon is chilly and windy. And the waves are up, and the tide is in, and the flags are flying out there. Isn't it great that God is not static? I mean that. Answer the question. Isn't it great? Nothing is static with God. It's all in flux. Everything's changing. Almost rained for 4 or 5 solid days a week ago. We got the sunny blue sky with that wind blowing. Catalina shows itself these months, what it's made of. We've got that weather. And most of us, as we're worshiping this morning, will not only give our worship with our mouths, and even in our hands or our prayers, but with what we breathe. When you breathe in and your lungs fill, but there's others today also who came to give God. And you've given either in the last week or you're planning on giving today an offering from what he has blessed you with. It may sound funny, but I want you to be excited that you get a chance to give back to God today. And the reason it may sound funny is because there's a lot going against that, isn't there? Right? But what has he done for you this morning? And look at the person next to you and say, I know I'm good looking, but that's not why I'm so blessed. Just let them know. I know. It's because of God's grace. Overwhelming mercy. You pull up to a street corner like this and see this building that stood the test of time. Just the framework of this building and the amount of mercy that has been shown to the many, many congregations that have sat here for many years. God's grace, that's the only way that I made it through this year. Amen?
Amen?
Right? We're coming to the very end. That's the only way I made it through the day. That's the only way I made it out of bed for some of us. Today, at the end of our service, I'm going to give you a chance to give witness, bear witness, and bring encouragement to those that have made it today. Look at the screen this morning. Why do you give? And that could be of your tithe. It could be of yourself, right? How has God blessed you? Oh my gosh. We don't have enough hours today, but we're going to address it. And what are you believing God for today? I want you to let these sink in. In fact, if you got your phone and you're looking at scripture in your phone, go ahead and make a screenshot of that real quick because it's coming back later, but it's going to disappear. I want you to stay in the questions throughout this sermon. And I'm actually going to open up this microphone, which I have never done before here, and I don't remember when I've done it other than maybe with some friends of our youth way back in the day in other ministries. But I'm going to let you, with the Holy Spirit guiding your heart, I'm going to let you address these questions publicly. I'm going to give you an opportunity with courage to address these questions in our congregation, almost like an annual meeting, but without all of the budget and line item stuff. Just a chance for you to give report. This is where I sit here at the end of the year. Here's where I sit in my Christmas. And I want to address this question right here. This is what I'm believing God for today. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. For those listening today that are online that could not be here in other states as well, what are you believing God for today? Let's pray. Father, thank you for Christmas carols. The penmanship that was led by your Spirit on paper, directly out of the voices of so many today and back into the hearts. And some are going to answer those Christmas carols and what they're believing for again. They're going to echo that again publicly. They're going to stand up and say, this is what a silent night looks like. This is what my pause has been with Jesus. And for the last 3 weeks, this is what I've learned from him. And doggone it, this is what I'm believing God for today. And others may say, this is what my tithe has felt like in the last year, but this is where it sits today. This is my offering of me. This is what I want to provide God. This is a sacrifice for what I have. So today, God, we ask that you do nothing more than you've done for Sunday after Sunday. Produce this entire service. From the very beginning, I stand down. Bring your spirit. Bring your presence. All of it. And the joy that comes with it. The joy. The merriment. We thank you for Peter and others in our story. Cornelius today. Not knowing then that many, many, many years later would still be touching the hearts through their courageous attitude of responding, understanding the why might come, it might not come, but I'm going to respond to what I see. That paints the stage for us today. Thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Everybody okay?
Yes.
Grab your notes this morning. Acts. We're looking at Acts. Some beautiful scriptures in there. God has made his joy available, his grace, his mercy. It's all available to each one of you that are here. I know what you're thinking. I know you're thinking, I was drugged here this morning. Okay? Or the coffee has not kicked in yet. Whatever you may be thinking, it's okay. Just stay in the notes. Stay in the scriptures this morning. Don't leave today. All right? Be present. If your phone needs to go to airplane mode, do that, okay? If you're going to protect yourself from outside stuff coming in, if you're using it for your scriptures, that's great. But be present today. Stay with us this morning, okay? I'm excited. I'm so excited. I'm going to read scripture. I'm going to tell you why I'm going to read the scripture at the end of this shorter message. I'm going to worship a little bit more. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful. You are going to participate this morning. We're going to move from consumers to contributors this morning. Sound good? That's what I have to say about it. I love contributors because my heart's blessed and I hear what God's doing. And today, looking at a picture of my kids that kind of flashed back up on my phone, something of when we first moved here, I think about the church. I think of what I want the church to grow up in and how far we're coming along and where we have come as a congregation this morning. The God that I want them to know. The God that has helped me. And it's helped us all with our giving. And as we're giving, I remember investing many years and a lot of dollars in my kids to play soccer with the little leagues they were on. And flag football even. And basketball with the YMCA. And none of them are going to go pro. All right? I figured that out. None of them are going to go pro. But if I could get them ready to live this life with the assurance of Jesus Christ and know their identity in him, that's something. Amen? That's something. That's an investment. So I have a hard time even choosing between certain messages this morning. I get mixed signals sometimes earlier in the week. I'll start a sermon out and it's not the one for this weekend. And on Thursday, I'll have a couple that I'm looking at that could go either way, and I'll have to pray. And I know that may sound a little crazy, but sometimes I do. I have a couple of things that I'm looking at, not just one. And I had a sermon that I planned on Mary because I thought she made herself available, which was great. And God didn't even ask her permission. He just showed up like, you're pregnant. Congratulations. That's how it was. This week I went to the Mass over there, and I had so many friends and lots of soccer players that I knew, and I attended the service over there, and I didn't understand one thing in the foreign language that was being spoken there, but I knew when people were praying, and I knew when people were kneeling, and I knew that I could pray, and God would hear my language, And I knew when I knelt that he saw that act of humility, and that's nowhere near what I need to be doing for his graciousness and mercy that he's shown to me. But I had a chance to worship with some friends after an invitation this week. And I'm inviting you to do the same this morning. You're my friend, and you're God's friend. And he's inviting you to be present and participate this morning. More specifically, we're looking in his word, and I want you to participate in scripture. Today, I don't want you to get stuck on how. That's where Mary was. How? Are you serious? But God didn't tell her how. He said, who? The Holy Spirit will overpower you. That's going to be the how, but that's who. All right, Mary, you don't got to worry about this. And I thought we could talk about the who, which is awesome. And one day that will happen, but it's not today. As Reed was announcing things this morning, he said, we're going to stay in the why this week. And I love your intro for next week, too. Cool beans. Looking forward to hearing that one. You don't know why. I don't know why until we respond. And you look back on things. Look at somebody and say, I'm the one. Come on, say it. I'm the one. You're going to need to say it sooner or later. Peter ended up saying it, so I just thought I'd start early. Because some of you are going, I'm not really sure I'm the one. So maybe we need more time with that one, but just thought I'd practice early. Acts chapter 10, verse 21. Peter went down and said to the men, I'm the one you're looking for. I'm the one. Why have you come, by the way? Once again, Peter went down and said to the men, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? Isn't it funny how you can have such confidence and uncertainty at the same time? I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? See, the scripture has a lot to say about the power of one. There's plenty of it. I used to hear preachers say, if we had this whole church and we did this whole service and we worked so hard at Christmas Eve and other things that happened, and it was just for one person to know Christ, it would be worth it. Amen? Have you heard that before? I've heard that before. And I do believe that. But we probably wouldn't meet in a building this size, okay? But something more logically suited for a one-on-one relationship. This is a place where many can get touched. Look at the empty seats here. But this is still about the one. I can even tell it sometimes when I'm preaching. I can look around and go, God probably gave you this part of the message. You can see it in people's eyes. This was definitely for them. This was for them. And it's weird. And don't be freaked out about that. Okay, I promise you I don't have some kind of spooky powers or anything, but you can just tell sometimes when people, especially when the service is over, when someone will say something, that's exactly what I needed. What do you got, security cameras in my house or something? This is exactly where I'm going with this. Somebody say, I'm the one. Once again, I'm the one. I'm the one. This is Peter's boldness. He steps up, not knowing, why are you guys even here? I'm the one. Jesus had 12 disciples, 11 after Judas took his life, but Peter was that one. There's always that one. And Peter was the one. He would speak up. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. He was the one that made the first confession of who Christ was. And just a few verses later, he was also the one telling Jesus, you don't need to go to the cross. That's bad for your clout. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Same one. But depending on when you caught him, he was either wildly out of control, obstinate, or obedient. And we just happen to catch him at a good time here in Acts chapter 12. Because he's heard the value of obedience. Have you? Have you learned the value of doing what God says? Even when you don't understand it? Boy, is that a test for our church right now. I think that's really important as we give of ourselves and you give of your tithe. Today, many of us We sit here, and when it's a chance to give from your heart where you're at, you start doing the math. You know, I got all these gifts, got these relatives, and need to mail this out. And, you know, over town, my monthly parking, this is going to, you know, line on, and it just starts going down. Yeah, I'm there. And you're like, I can buy this, I can buy that. That's probably not God telling you to give to people, okay? No. But it's weird, because you have to learn how to discern. Acts chapter 10, verse 21, Peter went down and said to the men, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? Who are the men? What's up with that? Why have you come? The scripture says in Acts chapter 10, verse 1, okay? Look at that, Acts chapter 10 and verse 1. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. Peter's not here. He's in Joppa because he just raised somebody from the dead, and you think you had a good week, okay? It's a powerful week for him. Peter had been praying. So Peter had been praying, and you're going to see this. Somebody else was praying also. And the same thing was going on to the same God. And see, what God is always doing is he's always trying to align opportunity with obedience. He wants those things together. And a lot of times we get in there and our heads start thinking of stuff and we start separating those two. But God's behind aligning those things. And there are opportunities that God will give to someone who has learned to be obedient. Don't freak out about the word. But quite honestly, listening to God and following his commands. Peter has learned obedience, but I will say this the hard way. But he's come to the point where he says, I'm the one. Now, what are we doing? And I love that about him. You do too. You do too. You want to be in those shoes. I'm there. What are we doing? God, you fill in the blank. I'm the one. Now fill in the blank. I'm the one. Now, where are we going? Because he knew that God was God, but he did not know the details. I want you to write this down if it's not there in front of you. Obedience is letting God set the direction, even when you don't have the details. Is there anybody awake this morning? Even when you don't know what's going on, God set the direction. When we first came here and we had a van and U-Haul junk and all the babies and kids and cats and everything in this vehicle, we had a Garmin. Anyone even remember Garmin? Okay. There's another one out there that was, I don't even know if it's around anymore. It was a Tom, something like that. Yeah, these direction things that sit on your dashboard, right? And you could set where you want to go. And you could set the direction you want. You know, you're like, this is where I'm headed. I can shorten this or extend that. But it would simply say, here's where you're headed. And then there's this little button that I remember on this thing. And now you don't have to worry about it. Now you got Google Maps and all these things. You got a million apps for getting where you're going. You know what I'm saying? But there's this one button that was on the Garmin. You remember it. You hit it. And it said details. And it was turn by turn. Did you ever look at that? No. I couldn't, because I couldn't handle that. I couldn't handle that. You couldn't handle that. It's just like, here's where I'm going. Just get me there, dude. Just get me there, Garmin. I'm fine. But the details, turn by turn, my heart can't handle that. God, I need to know all the details. Please. How am I going to make it financially through the end of this? Please, just, I don't understand what's happening in my own family right now. Could you give me the turn by turn? Like, I'm supposed to handle this one and that one tomorrow morning. When, that's not how he works. Here's your destination. This is where you need to go. Set me in the right, just get me focused where I need to go. I'll let you handle the turn by turn. Anyone with me this morning? And beneath that, we want all the details. Look at somebody and say, you can't handle the details. You can't. And I can't. I promise you can't. I promise you can't. Walking with God and listening to the Holy Spirit. I've just had to learn to take it turn by turn, whatever he has. Some of us will put stuff in the location, we'll put it in there, and we'll trust. This is what everybody else says, this self-help book, and this self-help, here's an app for this, and this is what our leaders are saying in our government, and this is where I'm headed. Listen, God says, trust me above and beyond your apps and your self-helps and medicating throughout the course of all the decisions you have. Trust me. And it's so important that we learn obedience is walking in a direction that God has called you to walk, even when you don't understand the details. I don't get it. Move to Catalina. I'm fired up, but that'll last about 2 weeks, right? Until I figure out, we just moved here. Now what? So there's this man, right? And what has happened was, while Peter was praying in Joppa, there was another man, okay? And it's interesting, he was not a Jew or a Christian. He was known as a God-fearer. He was also in command of 100 soldiers. That's why he's called a centurion. He was posted in Caesarea, which is a place that Jews hated. Oh, they hated Caesarea, okay? It represented Roman oppression. They weren't big into this. To them, there was a lot of racism even back then, my friends, at what God is doing in Acts chapter 10. And I believe what God is doing this day and what he can do here in Avalon and through the people that have shown up here this morning, is he can break those barriers. He can break those barriers. Breaking down barriers. God, if you need a church that can stand up and show the world what it looks like when we come together, different backgrounds, different battles. Every one of us has a different battle represented in this room. Look up and down your pew right now. I'll guarantee you see somebody who doesn't even look like you. And their story is nowhere close to yours. And I'm glad about that. Because what God is doing today is killing our categories. So we can't be a black church or a white church or a Hispanic church or a Latino church. Is it a Baptist? Is it a Methodist? Is it a Congregationalist? Is it Pentecostal? Is it non-denominational? Yes. Yes to all. We are the one. We are the church. We are the living expression of the body of Christ. The hope of life. We're the salt. We are the preservative. Do you believe that? Three of us do. Great. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Warm up. God turns around and he says, I'm looking for my body. I want to break down some of these barriers. And at Caesarea, there's a man named Cornelius, a centurion, in what was known as the Italian regiment. Acts chapter 10, verse 2. He and his family were devout, God-fearing. It means that they were attracted to the Jewish ethics. They actually did a lot of the practices. They embraced those. But they were doing a lot, but they were not Jewish in particular, not born into that. They were giving alms, praying at 9 a.m., actually sunrise, and then again at 3 p.m., and then sunset. They had all the practices, but they were not genetic Jews, okay? And it gives us this background to let us know that they were devout. They were God-fearing, and he gave generously to those in need, verse 3. And he prayed to God occasionally. Is that what it says? What's it say? Yeah. This guy's on it. Showed up every week. Just like some of you. Every week. Behind the scenes. Helping out. Some in the nursery as I speak. Some folding things. Some straightening things. Some cleaning things. Some setting up things. Some singing. Some back in the technical. Small church. Lots of things need to happen, lots of people. Faithful, setting up, tearing down, cleaning, like some of our tithers every week, faithful. Look at verse 3. So you show up regularly like that one day. And you never know when this is going to be, guys, okay? Then one day, about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius! And Cornelius stared at him in fear. Verse 4. Okay? And so would you. when God speaks, usually your first response is freak out. It's fear. Not me. No, no. I walk by faith. Perfect love casts out fear. Well, then you've never heard God tell you to do anything before. When he shows you something to do, and it's really him, it's going to be so big. Literally, you'll be praying a prayer of acid reflux and indigestion. It's absolutely, are you serious? I don't get it. I always like preaching on tithing when it's over. When it's over, I feel a lot better. That's when I like it, okay? But what I'm doing is I'm sitting down and I'm going, okay, God, my wife feels this way. I know I should feel this way. Get my heart to this place. Help me reflect over the years of giving. What has God shown me? What has he done? Stretch me to give further in ways that were sacrificial, that I remember year after year, and then all of a sudden I start thinking, well, I did that. It's not my year this year. It's somebody else's year. I don't need to do that anymore. See, my head just started, it's going in a good direction. All of a sudden, I missed the turn by turn, and I missed my turn. Recomputing, right? I just start thinking, the Garmin's telling me, rerouting, redirecting, right? I was doing good for a minute there, doing well, and all of a sudden, I exit ramped, and my brain started. I gave back in 2000. In 2010, I saved the budget. I'm the one, right? And then we just stop what we're doing, and you say to God, okay, God, whoa, I'm back. You can use me. Please use me. I'm the one. And you come to this point, and all of a sudden you actually hear from him, and there's fear. But the angel answered your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial before God. This is a sacrificial terminology like the Jewish culture system used to have. And righteous before the Lord, okay? And the angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up in the memorial offering before God. Okay? Now do you know how I said that God doesn't give you details? He just sets you in a direction? Yeah. Listen to how Cornelius knew. And this will make you feel good, by the way, this morning. If you don't know how to raise your kids or be a good husband or know what you're doing next in life, your career, college, change, whatever, you're going to love this. Acts 10:6. All he said was this. Now, send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea, okay? This is so confusing. Don't even get me started here. As I read, actually was dying laughing as I read this. Imagine this conversation. Go get the man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He's staying with Simon the Tanner. I know that Jews never typically stay with Tanners because they touch dead things and it's considered ceremonially unclean. And Tanners are considered to live on the outskirts of town, so it's going to be out of the way, but you got to go to this out-of-way place. But he's staying with Simon the Tanner. Okay, so you want me to go get Simon the Tanner? No, I don't want you to get Simon. I want you to get Simon the Peter. Simon Peter. Do you want me to get Simon or do you want me to get Peter? It's the same guy. Okay, great. But he had this thing where Jesus told him, you're Simon, but you're going to be Peter. You're going to be the rock. So look for the rock. If you don't hear Peter or Simon, look for the rock. And I'm going to build my church on that. Can you imagine? Some of you are going, Hobbs, you're making me nervous. I can't imagine this, even though you've had some shakiness going on here with your prayers and what you're praying for. Even though you had some trouble, I'm going to use you. Even though you don't know how you got this right, maybe you even got it wrong sometimes, I'm still going to use you, Peter. Somebody shout, I'm the one. Thank you. So he tells him, go get this. Go do this. Doesn't tell him why. Doesn't say a word. Says you'll find out why by responding. God doesn't show you until you respond. My friends, please pay attention this morning as I have had to do the same. He shows you the why in reverse. Why he did what he did. And then you help somebody out of your own pain. And you realize maybe that was the why. Or you're stronger. And you find out you had character you didn't even know till the storm literally shook away all that shaky stuff. just all the crud that was going on. And now you know why I had to go through that. Because my foundation was the rock. Peter was just going with the flow. But you do not know why. God does not give reasons to people who don't respond. God does not give reasons to people who don't respond. Verse 7. When the angel had spoke to him, had gone. Notice it's not what God says to you that sets the direction for your life. It's what you do with what God says to you. Okay? After the angel had spoke to him, had gone, Cornelius called two of the servants and the devil soldier, who was one of his attendants, and he told him, could that be what it is? He surrounded himself with good people, all right? He had people that were faithful. You ever felt like someone that you're closest to, your deepest ally, your deepest confidant, was not listening to God, but listening to our enemy? Who do you surround yourself with? What does that person say to you that is actually your right-hand man in your life or right-hand woman? What is that person that is in your small group? Are they devout? Do they love God? Do they see clearly where you want to go, but they see where you're headed and say, I see where you're headed, but I also see where you want to go? And I think you need to get a little bit of a course correction. Not 180, not 360, but maybe 2-degree shift to get you back on course. What kind of person are you hanging out with? What are they considered in your life? Are they devout? I love this. I saw an angel. I promise y'all, okay? I didn't smoke anything. This is for real. I saw an angel. I'm a God-fearer, and I saw an angel, and he said, go to Joppa. Now, at the time the men got there to Joppa, Peter was doing what? What was he doing? Help me. What was he doing? What was he doing, though? Praying. When opportunity meets obedience. Remember, up until this point, the gospel had only been to the Jewish community. Tracking with me? The gospel had only hit the Jewish community, those within the Jewish community. But that was never God's full intention. When God called Abraham, he said, go to the land, I will show you. I'm going to give you the direction. Abraham, not the details. And I'm going to bless you. But the reason I'm going to bless you is so that you can turn around and be a blessing, bro. Be a blessing. That's why God gave you your gifts, my friends. That's why God gave you your intellect, Abraham. That's why he gave you your intellect and your wisdom. You can use it for him and a blessing. Your capacity, what you have inside you to offer to someone else. So you could be a blessing. That's the real reason. And my friends looking at me this morning, that's the why. I've given you these things so you can be a blessing. But it takes time to realize why. It takes time to realize why. Because at first, you start thinking it's for you. And I do too. And then God, he just made you something way different. You're enlightened. Your eyes open. All of a sudden, I see that I'm a vessel for what he wants to bring to the world. Amen? 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 My eyes are open. All this stuff that God has blessed me with is not for me. It's so that I can be a vessel to bring the good news. That's what it's for. And when you hit that and you see that and you stand up and you go, I'll sing. I don't even know what these notes are. I just like the words. And I'm going to look at you guys, and I'm just going to sing. I'm not as tall as Carl is, so I'm going to do this. But I think I can sing. I just know at home everyone tells me I can sing. Actually, in Sol Vista, they tell me to stop singing on the balcony. Or I know I have a baby, but on Sunday mornings, I don't mind getting up here. I don't mind being faithful and welcoming people, even though there may be three out there when we first start the service. Come on, right? I'll be faithful. Because I like addressing people. I'm comfortable in front of people. That's capacity. That's a giftedness. That's something you've been given. And you're a vessel. You're saying, I'm interested. I don't know all the details. I don't even know what the announcements are today. But I'm with you, man. I'm good. How can I help you? You guys tracking with me? I'll say it again. You realize that God just made you a vessel for what he wants to bring to the world. You're carrying the message of the good news. And it's not just a baby. It's a man who came to us in all humility. You're a vessel carrying the most incredible, game-changing news. But Peter and the men are coming to Joppa, verse 9. About noon the following day, that's not even a scheduled prayer, okay? Sunrise, 3, sunset. So Peter's getting some extra prayer in. Love this. Right here, which is very cool. And he's praying on the roof so he can actually catch the breeze. That's how I imagine it. I just love going up on the roof. Anyone love going up on a roof? Just give me a roof somewhere. Right? Up on the roof. Just get the... He's up there. Verse 10, and he became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. This is getting good. Teenagers, this is getting good. Okay, here we go. And he saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals. Track with me here. As well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him when he was in a position to pray. Verse 13, okay? When he was set apart, he heard the voice. When he was above the everyday affairs, life on the roof, just seeking God. Some of you guys, you know, you got to get out of here. You got to get on a boat just to go over town. I need to walk on a beach somewhere. I need a mountain. I need to see some of you go up to the East Summit Lookout. I know it's Avalon's right below you, but you just got to get up on a mountain, right? And you're up there and there's things that are happening. You're above the affairs of life. You're out of the matrix. I got to ride my bike. I got to hike the horse trail. I know it's basically a loop, but such a loop, right? Peter didn't make sense to him. He saw something that looked crazy. Come to seek God today? Have you had time with him yet today? Is this your time with him? When you leave here, make time with him. Right? Take what you've learned today and apply it in your own personal walk and pause with him. And it didn't make sense to him. None of this dream stuff made sense because it has reptiles in it. Birds, pigs. But here's the voice of God. Peter's a good Jew. Okay? It's not okay eating pork chops for lunch. He's not supposed to. Not supposed to. This doesn't make sense. But here's the voice from heaven saying something. Verse 13 says that a voice told him, Peter, get up, kill, eat. You're hungry, dude. And Peter, still kind of stubborn, he says, surely not, Lord. Surely not. Peter replied, you going to call him, Lord? And tell him no? That's the Peter remix. No, Lord, no. Okay? I've never eaten anything impure and unclean. And the voice spoke to him a second time. Verse 15. How many of you are grateful that God will give you a second chance? Raise your hand. How about a third chance? How about a 184th chance? Right? Anyone here thankful for the chances God gives you? You heard the voice, but you're like, nope, I'm not doing that. I don't think that's from you. Second time, third time, he's coming after you. Hey, give God a clap this morning. Thank you for all those chances. God, thank you for staying after me. No, this can't be from you. No, no. He stays after you. Stays after you. Lord, thank you for coming after me again. What does he say? Go ahead. Okay. Do not call anything impure. It's okay. Go ahead. This is good. Stop thinking you know better than me. Stop trying to live your life by reason. And I want you to receive the revelation. Two guys trying to show him, I'm a barrier breaker. I want to break the barrier of what you thought was possible. Avalon, 10:30, congregation, I want to break the barrier. I consider this a barrier breaking Sunday. God has got you here. You made it here. Let God break your barrier. So everything that God is can get into your house, can get into your life, can get into your family, in our community. Literally, the translation here is, stop considering it common. Peter thought certain animals were clean. Certain people were common. And the Jewish people were uncommon. But God said, I want to bless the whole earth through you. I want to do something bigger than your little mind can comprehend here, son. This happened to me three times. Verse 16 here, okay? Immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven while Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision. The men, check this, okay? While he was wondering, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. This is so cool. Verse 18, they called out asking, if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. Is Simon here? Yes, this is his house. No, the one they call Peter. Oh, yeah, he's on the roof. He's on the roof. They don't know what he's going through. He's actually on the verge of hallucination right now. He's hungry, and he's dreaming of pigs and birds and reptiles and a sheet and all this weird stuff, okay? He's somewhere between losing his mind and hearing from God. He doesn't know which one yet. These guys are right here on the doorstep. Verse 19, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. Verse 20, so get up, go downstairs, son. Don't hesitate to go with them, for I've sent them. Okay? Any details there? Not yet. Just go downstairs and hang out with them. This is all I want you to know. Verse 21, Peter went down and said to the man, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? Now are you tracking with the verse we said about 20 minutes ago, right? Why are you guys here? I'm the one, but why are you here? Well, he's about to find out because he's about to go with these guys to Cornelius' house. Cornelius had a huge house party going on. Big party. Gathered in Caesarea. When Peter gets there, Cornelius has enough faith to say this. Say whatever you want, Peter. This is gospel all the way right here. And Peter did not know that until he went. How would you like that, Reed? How would you like to know that three people may be hearing the announcement? Would you show up if I told you three people are going to hear the announcements on Sunday morning this morning? No, probably not. But you're here and you're faithful. I'm here. Whatever you want me to do. Peter did not know that he was going to do this until he went. Here's what I want you to know about the gospel. It went to the Gentiles that day. Is there an amen in here? How many Gentiles do we have in the house right now? Raise your hands. Any Gentiles in the house right now? Oh, wow. All of us? Interesting. You don't know why until you respond. Peter literally responded out of obedience. That's why your hand is up and you made it to church today. You don't know why. And you get the assignment. Knowing that God has chosen you is difficult because you have to know that you're chosen. I get it. Even when you're uncertain, you have to know that you're chosen. Even when you feel incompetent, you have to know that you're chosen. Even when you don't know, like, how God is going to use me. Never, Lord, will I eat unclean animals. My friends, if you were close to me, I'd call you a dummy. But I'll just say, hey, crazy, it's not about the animals. It's not about the animals. It's about the gospel. Peter, it's about the gospel. It's not about the bacon. It's about the barriers that God wants to break. Can I tell you something about bringing an offering when you come to church? It's not about the money. Amen? It's about your heart. God wants your heart. He does not need your money. Never has. It's about what God wants to do through you. And that's why. We have to do this quick. But I'm going to let the Holy Spirit take over at this point for sure in your heart, okay? I'm opening this microphone this morning. In all honesty, I pray that it works. Sometimes things are weird. Yeah, this is great. And there it sits. It's a long way up here for some of you guys, way back there. There it sits. And here's our three questions. And there they sit, and they have been for several minutes this morning. When you find the why, the what is no problem. Yeah. When you find the why, you can trust God with the how. You can trust God with the where. And doggone it, you can trust him for the win. Win. When you find the why. Oh, this is it. Now I see this. I want you to move from a consumer to a contributor this morning. You can sit there, and that's totally your right. If God's telling you to say something to encourage your body of believers this morning, though, do it. Don't be afraid. Why do you give, whether of yourself or your tithe? Encourage someone. Here's why I give. And here's why I feel like serving. Here's what happened to me inside. As a result, how has God blessed you? So you've started being faithful. So how has he blessed me? And then if you have to, and you just go straight for this one, what do you believe in God for today? Like as in the first two, haven't really had an answer, but this one right here, this one does. I want you to keep it short. Just allow others to participate, but the microphone is now yours. You will be first.
Why I give is because it's what I'm made for. I'm made to give back of myself back to God because he's given me all that I am, so I can only worship him by returning to him what is his. What has God blessed me for is provision. My whole life has just been one amazing story of how God's blessed me in my childhood. God provided me with amazing parents, an amazing sport that I was able to participate in that was way beyond a small town pastor's price point, but God blessed us with that. Blessed me with a place to stay here on an island that's way too expensive for a single man to live in who's working part-time jobs, but here I am. And what I'm believing God for today is a continuation of what he's done. He's going to keep providing. He's going to keep giving so I can keep giving back.
Sick, so I'm going to try to stay away from the microphone. So if you can't hear me, I apologize. I don't want to get it germy. Let's see. Why do you give? How has God blessed? I'm going to start with that one because I give because God has blessed me. So I'm switching things. Sorry, Andrew. but this year, this past year, has been kind of a struggle for me internally and with things that I've been going through and dealing with. So God has blessed me by being with me every step of the way and handling that and dealing with that. And because of that, he's really given me a few opportunities to give back and be able to bless others through that struggle. What I'm believing God for today is that I'm believing that he will help me get through being sick so I can keep being a mom and doing things I have to. Because, you know, he always comes through. He always has. And I haven't had to sit down and be like, no, I can't mom today. Yeah, so... so thank you.
I want to thank everybody of you because through every heart and every smile and every single trust you've given me, I recover self-confidence in me, and I'm here because I just love God with all my heart. He has been there for me since he put me in the womb of my mother, and I believe that together we can be the heart for the earth. And through the book of Isaiah, we're going to be together, Christians, Catholics, and Jews, all together with a heart full of joy. And thank you, and happy holidays, and may the joy be in your heart, and let us sing great for God, our Savior, my rock, my God, and thank you, thank you.
I just wanted to say my name is Abdul Jabbar. Thank God for bringing me to this church, meeting some nice people on this island. And God has been showing me that the direction for me and my friends, I believe, is only Jesus Christ. Thank you very much. Amen.
That God wanted me to share, I'm going to try not to cry, how he's called us to give financially, which is, you know, a story in itself, but, and so that's awesome, and I can talk to you later if you ever want to hear about that, because it's wonderful. But as I was sitting here, I feel like God called me to say that oftentimes it's harder for me to give of myself than it is to give my money. Like, you know, I can just, I love giving money away. But to believe him that I actually have something to offer can be different and difficult. So, I'm just believing that God keeps calling me out. And maybe you're there too. But I believe he has called us out to trust him. That we do have something to offer, even if we don't see it. So, I'm just grateful to him for that.
Too, Shelley. I believe that God rescued me. I'm thankful because I don't know if you guys know, but I was separated from my husband for about a year. And through prayer, he's brought us back together. And we're still trying to make things work, but he's my rescue story. He's my testimony. He's all I have. So I'm thankful. Thankful for all your prayers.
I think God's blessed me with, like, well, me and my family, like, being able to live here, like, I can't say I've had a perfect, like, high school, middle school experience, but, like, that doesn't even matter because he's, like, blessed me with, like, this place in and of itself, this island, this family and everything. And I think that's why, like, my family is so encouraged to give and just, like, we are blessed so much. And, like, how Daniel said, like, not giving is just like not even possible, because God's given us so much and has blessed us with a place to live, you know, in this beautiful place, that like not giving back would just be wasting everything He's given us. I think today I'm believing God for just comfort and more provisions, and for my family to be able to give back, and like the college I'm going to, I couldn't ask for anything better. And I think He's blessed me so much with friends that encourage me to give and to want to become who God's given me the talents to be.
So why do I give? A lot of people have said it in different ways, but God is the author and creator of life. So that means my life, that means my son's life, that means all of our lives. And I just feel so blessed to be alive, to get to be a part of other people's lives. And so I want to thank this community for always being a part of our lives. I'm excited to see how God can move in this community as my little one grows. So what am I believing God for? Is that He's going to continue to move. He's going to continue to shine down on us, work in our hearts, work in this community, that we will once again be a community unified.
Do we give? Because we can. And that's why we are blessed.
So I just want to start by saying... I consider myself a pretty selfish guy, but when I do give, I get so much back in return, and I've been given a lot more recently. And what God has blessed me with is my bride, my wife, my bride, this church. And today, through his faithfulness, through my faithfulness to him, I feel like I will make a difference of many. So it's faithfulness that I'm believing in him for today.
Just going to share something with you. It's God has blessed. Well, he's taken me through a lot of storms in the last few years, and some of them have still been rough. They're still going on. But the one thing that's been happening is that I've really, really given him my heart, and he's there. And I'm going to share with you just a little humor, lighten it up. Anyway. I wanted to start really tithing, and so my finances weren't all that great, and I kind of talked and prayed with God, and I wasn't quite giving what the Bible says. And the reason why I do give, or you want to give, is because that's what we're supposed to do. That's what the Bible says. And so I had... some things were happening, and God and I were praying, and I talked to him every day, daily, and he's like, well, if this happens, you're going to do this. And I was like, okay, whatever. Well, the thing happened, and when it happened, I heard his voice tell me, come on, this is the amount right here. And I'm like, but God, you know, I don't have a lot. And, but God, you know, I have this maybe going on over here, but God, I need this, or, you know, really? So I kind of, like, walked away from it. And he's at me again. I hear this, you're going to give this. You are going to give this. I'm going, God, this is more I've ever given in my life. Are you sure? You know what I've got. He says, give it. And I finally went to a fellow Christian person, and I was telling him about this, and we were having lunch. And this person looked at me and said, you know, if this is really happening, why don't you write the check right now? So I did that. And I guess my point is that if you really do, if you hear God's word, which it's there, I mean, he tells you to do something. Don't be a Jonah. Do it. And even if you're saying to yourself, well, that only leaves me with this, he's going to bless you. Because right after that, I mean, just, you know, blessing, well, not even before that, but just blessings really started to overflow. So I give because of that, and he's blessed me in so many ways. I take up too much of your time, and, you know, I believe in God because I will never believe in anything else, and he's my Father, and he's number one, and he'll be number one in my life daily. Thank you.
Anyone else this morning? I give because I'm blessed. When I see faithfulness in my friends, and it just keeps coming back to me. I look and see what others are doing around me, and I feed off that same thing. Like Janae was saying, in the community here, I see the strength behind these things that happen in here. And there's some quiet soldiers that are at it and going hard, and that's one of the reasons that I find him faithful, is for the friendships that he provides me. Guys, thank you for your faithfulness this morning. Father, thank you for all of these things. Some were not able to be said on a microphone, but they were thoughts in their heart. Some were not able to stand, but they were standing in their in their mind's eye. They were standing there. They knew before you they were standing and saying thank you. So I take these comments. I take these reflections. I take these projections, some of which are saying, I hope this is my case. I hope this is what's going to happen. I'm trusting. My faith is increasing. I take all of this service and lay it on the altar. Jesus, may it be a sweet fragrance to you. You are at work. And you're not finished. Not even close. Everything is in flux. Nothing is static. It's all moving. There are flags flying all over this church property right now saying the wind of the Holy Spirit is blowing and it's moving. And it's coming strong. You're at work. Thank you for your faithfulness. All that we have belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen.